While Northwest Arkansas was largely spared during the onset of the pandemic in the state in March, the recent surge in cases is sending more people to local hospitals. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek spoke with Steve Goss, the president of Mercy Clinic in Northwest Arkansas, about what the Mercy Health System in the area is seeing on the ground and how it's handling the spike in both mild and severe cases of COVID-19.
From what you've seen within the Mercy Hospital system here locally, what is the difference between what's happening right now and what was happening a month ago or 2 months ago or back in March?
You know, I think the biggest thing is just the number of patients that have been hospitalized. The big difference and very noticeable. I think the numbers that we're seeing and have been pretty consistent with over the last couple of weeks are, you know, two to three times the numbers we had seen at any time previously. A definite uptick in hospitalizations and a more positive test just in the testing that Mercy was doing. That doesn't include all of Benton County and Washington County and everyone else's testing, but just what Mercy was doing in its testing location, we were seeing an increasing positivity rate over time.
And in terms of hospitalizations, can you give us an idea of when the hospital decides that someone needs that kind of intervention, that they are sick enough with coronavirus to require being admitted to the hospital?
Right. Yeah. You know, I think it depends a little bit, obviously, on the underlying conditions that the patient may have. So if you already had, for instance, emphysema or some heart disease, then it may just be an exacerbation, a worsening of those underlying processes is how it manifests itself more. However, primarily it's respiratory difficulties and people not being able to oxygenate themselves very well. So they see their ability to breathe and oxygenate their body is diminishing. And sometimes that's pretty precipitous. So that folks may have some more minor respiratory symptoms for two or three or four or 5 days. And then all of a sudden, they can hardly breathe and they're needing supplemental oxygen to try to keep their oxygen levels up. And then, there's a good number of them that progress to needing to be on ventilators or other oxygen support type systems.
And at Mercy, are you seeing more people who need to be put on ventilators?
Yes. So, you know, not only have we seen more folks, but we've seen more of them that need the higher intensity and level of care. And that's where a majority of the stress kind of comes from. So these mostly are not, you know, easy to care for patients. They don't just need an IV and some fluids and an antibiotic, because there isn't one that works for the COVID-19 virus. So there's a lot of intensity, especially from respiratory care. And so that's what makes it a little more stressful and taxing on the facility and on our providers, nurses, and support staff.
The numbers coming from the state and here locally seem to indicate that our Latino population, our Marshallese population, have been disproportionately affected by this virus. Are you seeing that reflected in the patients that are being admitted to Mercy Hospital?
Yes, it is. More Latino, but also Marshallese, but other community spread also. But that is the case. It does seem to have been a little bit disproportionate in that regard.
Have there been any discussions internally at Mercy about why that is and what kind of message you would like to get out to those communities?
Yes, I would say there has been. I don't know that I've been in any direct conversations myself, but between talking with employers and the state health department. I think the state health department's been mentioning that it does show where spread inside of a family, is one of the most risky things. It's that really close contact of being within 6 feet for greater than 15 minutes. And so in family units and families that are living together and close together for extended periods of time, that's where the virus is most proficient at, transmitting itself. So I think that's just borne out in what we've seen here. But the message is sort of still the same for everyone. You know, our best means of combating this is still masking, social distancing, good hand hygiene, kind of wiping down surfaces. It's those basic things that are still our best weapons at preventing the spread of COVID-19.
I'm sure you're aware and have read the letter that Washington Regional Medical Center released last week regarding the seriousness of the outbreak in Northwest Arkansas. That letter also talks about these new cases being a result of spread and not more testing. Is that what you are finding at Mercy as well?
Yes, I would completely agree with their assessment of things too. There has been more testing, and so you are going to get more positives. But again, as I mentioned earlier, we've been seeing an increasing positivity rate in just our own testing. So it's not that you're doing more, but there's a greater percentage of them that are positive. So, and then that's interpreting to a greater number of people in the hospital. And to me, that's a more critical thing. Fortunately, because most people are going to do okay, either they're going to be asymptomatic or they're not going to get too sick if they're relatively healthy people to begin with that won't need hospitalization. So a real key metric for us is just the hospitalization rate. If the positivity rate continued to go up, but it really didn't affect our hospitalization rate, that can be something the community can handle. But, if the hospitalization rate went way up and you're beginning to tax, the health systems, and then you're beginning to tax the ability to take care of everyone with their other regular, normal, but perhaps serious medical conditions. And so, that's what we're having to weigh. Right now, we're able to take care of both. We're doing a good job on taking care of those COVID patients, plus we're taking care of all those coming in for non-COVID-related things like they normally do, heart attacks and heart failure and infections and other things. So, but those are the things that we worry about, that it really taxes the underlying ability to take care of the rest of the community, if you will.
Given that our region of the state hasn't experienced a surge in coronavirus cases until now, how does a hospital prepare for a moment like this?
We're somewhat fortunate in that, back in March and April, when we were beginning to have a few cases, we were really scrambling, as was the rest of the country, about exactly what to do and how to approach this. So we were fortunate, kind of being part of a larger health system too, that we were able to collaborate across our four-state region and sort of come up with what we thought were best plans for our hospitals and clinics and that sort of thing. So there was a lot of planning. Fortunately, we didn't have to do a lot with it. Our St. Louis community facilities early on had more activity than anyone else, and so we learned a lot from them. And so we were able to get a lot of things in place, just about testing and supplies and PPE and even the treatment protocols that seemed to be working the best for the patients and those sorts of things. So we've sort of been ready, prepared, and practicing to some degree on a lower number of patients up until now. So I don't want to downplay it by any stretch of the imagination, but I think we were better prepared. The initial shock from COVID-19, we had gotten over, But with the increase in numbers, we really had to ramp back up and kind of go into crisis mode where, you know, we're having daily or twice daily telephone calls with all the department heads and leaders just to making sure we know, do we have enough supplies? Do you have any issues? How do we need to get things covered? You know, where are the pressure points today? How many people are in the emergency room needing to be admitted and how many of those have COVID? And a lot of that, almost a military sort of command center sort of mentality that we have to take for it. So we're not overwhelmed, but I don't want to downplay the effort that it's taking by our coworkers and physicians and providers, nurses, respiratory therapists, all of them that are fighting this.
So how is the Mercy healthcare system faring in this moment?
We've got plenty of beds. We've got plenty of ventilators. Fortunately for some of the remdesivir, which is still somewhat of an experimental drug, we've been able to have some supplies of that to use on patients. We've also used the convalescent serum that you may have heard about on a few. On some, that seems to have helped. On others, it hasn't, unfortunately. That is another thing that we've seen a few more deaths with this increased number of patients than what we had really experienced in the past. But that was a little demoralizing for the staff because they had brought a lot of people through previously. But then here, a couple of weekends ago, we had several deaths. Had a pretty good week this past week where we got several people off the ventilator. Once you're put on the ventilator, it's not always the easiest to get back off, and it's a bad sign to have to go on the ventilator in the first place. So all those things are kind of playing into it. Plus, I would say too, Zosanna, that we've had good cooperation. We've had good cooperation through Sister Mercy facilities that have been able to send us ICU nurses. So we've needed those nurses with that extra ICU critical care sort of training. We've been able to support some of that virtually through a virtual care center that we have in St. Louis that's staffed by intensive care doctors and nurses. The local health systems have kind of been sharing the load where if we're full on our floor at the moment, then Washington Regional or Northwest has taken patients here and there also. So we're still doing okay as far as beds. Our personnel are sort of stretched almost to the max. Some stress on our respiratory therapists from time to time because they're having to be very busy with all the different ventilators and different respiratory machines. So all of those things come into play, but we've had good cooperation and good support from not only our own Mercy Ministry, but here in the region.
And everything you just talked about is happening at Mercy's COVID unit, which is at Mercy Hospital in Rogers. Can you tell us more about that unit, what it looks like, how it works?
So we've got a separate unit set up where that's where those patients would be cohorted, and that's separate from the rest of the facility. So that's about a 60-bed unit that we still have, you know, capacity for more if we need to. But that also helps us because all those coworkers can kind of, they don't have to change their personal protective equipment out as frequently. Since they're all there in the unit with people that are positive, and that was on purpose so that we didn't run out of equipment quicker than we needed to, masks, shields, gowns, gloves, all those sorts of things. So, and we've also, you know, taken great care to make sure even how we move the patients in and around and through and out of the hospital to stay separate from the corridors that our, quote, regular patients would travel. So, you know, we've taken lots of precautions to protect the general community and all those getting kind of the regular care. And we don't know of any transmission, you know, in the hospital.
What would you like the community at large to know that maybe most of us aren't exposed to unless you're working at the COVID unit at Mercy Hospital.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the basic thing is that we're seeing the people that are really sick, and we're seeing the people that are dying from it, and they aren't. And so we're a little sensitized to it. But, you know, I think another thing that I would say is that, you know, we have to learn how to live with COVID-19. You know, I think we did good earlier on by pulling back and shutting down a lot to reduce the spread. But sooner or later, you kind of got to learn how to live with it. And so our basic plea is to do those things I just talked about: mask, social distance, wash your hands. Just be aware of that, because everyone's got instances of them going places and doing things, and hardly anyone's got a mask on. And so I would just encourage people not to be cavalier. You know, it's not that you can't go live your life, but it's almost a bit of a civic duty, if you will, to make sure you put a mask on when you're out and about. Because even though you may not contract it, or you may be just one of the asymptomatic ones, or you would never have much trouble with it, you never know how that virus is going to transmit and who is going to be the next person that gets it that is going to be very sick and who could potentially die. So we just are needing to help protect those that are most vulnerable out in the community.
That was Steve Goss, the president of Mercy Clinic in Northwest Arkansas, speaking with Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek. Goss says he's hopeful the coronavirus trend in Northwest Arkansas reverses itself, but the hospital system has another level or two of response planned just in case it doesn't, and Mercy has to expand its capacity to accommodate any further growth in COVID-19 cases.